I experience with Christians as we enjoy eating. We love to eat. Preachers love to eat. And sometimes it shows. We enjoy good food, a delicious meal. Now, I hope we don't live to eat. You know, we need to eat to live, but we don't need to live to eat. Eating too much is a sin. It really is. And I think we need to remember that. But I look forward to our get-togethers, our fellowships, food, fun, times when we enjoy the fellowship, the blessings of God's people. Now, a good meal is important. Eating good food is important, for its nourishment brings health and strength and physical well-being. You are what you eat. And I see that more and more as I grow older. What I eat does affect me for good or not so good. But we can't be at our best if we don't eat right. Fast food might initially taste good, but if that's your diet, it's going to be detrimental to your health. We need to eat good food and be grateful. When God provides good food for you, be grateful. That is a gift of life from the Lord. But eating right is always needful. It's very beneficial for our spiritual health. And the primary source of the Christian's nourishment, of course, is the Word of God. We need the milk. We need the meat of the Word to properly grow, which means we need to be in the Word, which means we need to be reading the Word. We need to be studying the Word. We need to be meditating on the Word. We need to be memorizing the Word. And obviously, we need to be obeying the Word. Don't be just a hearer of the Word, but we are to be doers of the Word. In fact, the more we are in the Word and the Word is in us, the better and more nourished, spiritually speaking, we are. In our lesson today from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, I want us to see five beneficial results that come from feeding on the Word of God, feeding on the Bible. Paul said in verse 16 of Colossians 3, "Let the Word of Christ, let the revelation Christ has brought into this world," it's called the Bible, it's called the written word, he being the living word, he the personification of the written word, dwell in you. What does that mean? It means it's to live in us. It's to be alive in us. Something that's alive in you is going to affect you. Let it live in you. Let it be at home in you. We're saying here, God's word is welcomed. It is desired, it is wanted, for it is believed, it is accepted in the home called the heart, which is further declared in the word richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, and here's the adverb. How is it to dwell in us? It's to dwell richly in us. Now, the Greek word for richly can be translated abundantly, extravagantly. God's word should so permeate our lives that it holds sway over our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And God's word dwells in us richly when we study it. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 tell us? Study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It dwells in us richly when we hide it in our hearts. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The word dwells in us richly when we hold on to it. Paul said, holding forth in Philippians 3:16, the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. If you want at the end of your life to say, my life has not been in vain, you need to hold on to the Word of God. You need to hold on to its promises. You need to believe its promises. You need to act upon them. Now please understand, to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly is identical to being filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless the Word of God is richly indwelling you. This filling of the Spirit and the richly indwelling of the Word of God go together. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have the parallel passage to Colossians 3. In Ephesians chapter 5, rather than Paul saying there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Paul says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so what he's saying is, when we're filled with the Spirit, the word of God is dwelling richly in us. And of course, to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Word of God, Christ's words. I like what one author says. God's Word in our hearts becomes the handle by which the Holy Spirit turns. He controls the will. I like that. The Word of God becomes the handle by which the Holy Spirit turns, he controls the will. Again, to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by God's Word. And by the way, the Holy Spirit never goes against his Word. And so when such is the case, there are some amazing results. And as I said at the outset, I want us to look at five amazing results that come to pass when we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and control us. And the first is we gain a wisdom-filled heart. If you look again at verse 16, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, there is wisdom that follows. And this wisdom is of such a nature that it enables us to teach and admonish others. Let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. What is teaching? Well, teaching is the impartation of truth. That's what I'm doing right now. What is admonishing? It's warning people of the consequence of not obeying the truth. So you have the positive and you have the negative side as you impart this wisdom to others. What God has imparted to you, you give, you speak forth to others, which tells us the blessing of this wisdom-filled heart is, not only is God's Word elevating us, not only are we experiencing its wisdom, but we can then elevate, we can then edify others. When you are in the Word, when the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, and you are experiencing its wisdom because it comes from God, not only are you being wise, but you can share that wisdom with others. And there needs to be a lot of divine wisdom being shared. You need wisdom, and you need to be in a place where you are imparting wisdom. And you can't do so unless the Word is dwelling in you. Parents, you need to be in the Word. Your kids need the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. They aren't going to get it in school. They're probably not going to get it from their friends. But hopefully, they'll be receiving it from you. The truth, the admonishments that have affected us, we can then pass on. Sometimes I get so excited you know, when I study the Word and the Word comes alive to me, I think, boy, that's, I want to share that. That's truth. Truth sets us free. Praise God, I have this privilege. Again, it's called edifying. But not only do we live out and then impart needful, wise instruction, information to others, when we faithfully are digesting the Word of God, we bring, and this is the second result of being in the Word, we bring joy to those around us. Not only do we bring wisdom to those around us, but we bring joy to those around us. We gain a joy-filled heart. Again, result number two of being in the Word, we teach, we admonish one another in psalms. It's called the Psalter. The Psalter of God's Word, and how instructive are the psalms. Psalm 62, 7 and 8. I've been memorizing this week, and God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. What a blessing those verses are. We sing to one another in psalms and hymns. What are hymns? Biblical truth, doctrine expressed in praises to God. We sang, arise, my soul, arise. Complete in thee. We're going to sing at the end of the service, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. It's so important that churches still sing the hymns. You know what? It's scriptural to sing hymns. And then Paul says we bring joy when we sing spiritual songs, which testify what God has and continues to do for us. Our testimony is sung to others. When we were over in Europe this last summer, we were with the Vanderhoofs, and they sang this little chorus, God is good to me, God is good to me, He holds my hand, He helps me stand, God is good to me. So, well, just a little chorus. I like that little chorus. And they sang in German, they were speaking in tongues, and you know, but I could figure it out. God is good to me. He holds my hand. He helps me stand. I couldn't stand apart from Him. God is good to me. Charles says, we sing a happy tune. And does it a joy-filled heart cheer others? As I was getting on the plane from flying from Baltimore to Atlanta yesterday, the family behind me, the lady, she said to the flight attendant, well, how are you? It was just like, where did that come from? I mean, she was actually happy. She actually was bringing joy to that little environment right there as we were walking into the plane, you know, where the flight attendants stand. And then you take a ride and go to your seats. But then I noticed as she was getting off the plane, and I couldn't read it, but there was a button she had on her lapel that spoke of God. So it didn't surprise me. Being in the Word greatly affects our spirit, our demeanor, our attitude. And therefore we can help when we are in the Word. We can bring joy and happiness to others. And that's, you say, well, that's trite. No, it's not. That's being spiritual. Being spiritual is not walking around with a grumpy, sour face. Being spiritual is having the joy of the Lord. And there's strength. What did Nehemiah say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We can help impart that strength to others. I mean, again, harking back to this lady, I bet she had her devotions that morning. And just that moment of greeting someone with true joy and happiness, I mean, it just immediately it lifted the spirit of that place. So I would hope my joy-filled spirit lifts others, helps to encourage others, strengthens others. And I hope yours does too. Now let's look at verse 15 where we see the third result of being in the Word. The Word of God dwells in us richly. We gain a peace-filled heart. A wise-filled heart, a joy-filled heart, a peace-filled heart. Verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And of course, biblically, the concept of peace has two aspects. At salvation, we experience the peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, being justified by faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The war between us and God is now over. The peace treaty has been signed and sealed with the cleansing blood of Christ. And so objectively, we as believers are ruled by the peace with God. Don't you think having peace with God has a tremendous effect on how you live? But then subjectively, we can let the peace of God rule our hearts. We can let the attitude of rest and security rule our hearts. You know those verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Greek word for rule was used to describe the activity of an umpire in deciding the outcome of an athletic contest. Well, the application is the peace of God not only guards our hearts, but guides the heart in making the right calls, making the right decisions, making choices in life that are consistent with God's will being good, acceptable, perfect. God's word will always rule in God's favor. You want to be in God's favor because that's where God blesses. That's the will of God. And making right decisions through life leads to a winning life. You win the game of life. I tell folk all the time, the decisions you make today will affect tomorrow. And not only affect you, but will affect those around you. So it's important, it's vital, it's necessary that we let the Word of God rule our hearts today so that the right decisions, right calls are made today. And further, believers who are living out the peace of God, they in Christ are walking in the same direction, will live in unity and harmony with those around them. They will live out Romans 12, verse 15, "If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. They will not be overcome of evil, but they will conquer evil with good." A person at peace with God is a conqueror. I say, what a way to live, to have the peace of God rule in your heart. What a beautiful life. When you're in the Word, you bring wisdom with you. When you're in the Word, you bring joy with you. When you're in the Word, you bring peace with you. That's a beautiful life. That's living. I mean, you know, you're around some people, and wherever they go, they're stirring up the hornet's nest. Have you ever met people like that? They're always stirring everything up. You think, boy, here comes trouble. By the way, that's true in a family. Sometimes you have one oddball. I mean, he's out of fellowship with the Lord. He's out of fellowship with everyone around him. And wherever he is, there's confusion, there's strife, there's just peacelessness. That is sad. What a sorry way to live. Bring wisdom, joy, and peace wherever you go. And then the fourth result of letting Christ's word abide in us richly, we gain a Christ-glorifying, Christ-honoring heart. Really, wherever you see glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, it really means honor God. Honor God. Verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all, notice, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't miss that. What does that mean? It means be consistent with his name. What would Jesus do? In other words, God's word enables us to act consistently with who Jesus is and what he wants, what is honoring to him. I think a lot of these gray areas would be very much taken care of if we would say, what is honoring to Jesus' name? Paul expressed the same thought in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory, the honor of God. God's word governs us to the point we put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Remember, the goal of the Christian life is Christ-likeness. And then the fifth result of being consumed by God's word is we gain a thankful heart. And in each of these three verses, we see thankfulness, which must mean it's important. Verse 15, and be thankful. In verse 16, we read, singing with grace. And that word grace can mean thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. Verse 17, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, which tells me thankfulness is, again, very important. I mean, it's mentioned in every one of these verses. When the peace of Christ rules our hearts, when God's word is operational in our hearts, when through God's word we realize all that Christ has done for us, we feel, we experience his grace to help in all times of need. A thankful heart will be the appropriate response. We will sing with grace, with thanksgiving in our hearts to the Lord. You know what? Thank you, Lord, is a beautiful statement. Amen. How often do you say, thank you, Lord? When I landed yesterday, thank you, Lord. When I saw my wife, she actually came and picked me up. Thank you, Lord. I gave her a kiss. She gave me a kiss. We hugged. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then that passage in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me ask you, can you grumble and complain and be thankful at the same time? What a blessing to be around a praising, joyful, thankful heart. You know, it elevates you. It lifts the whole room. Might we daily be in the Word, so the Word can be in us, and how spiritually nourishing. There is no better meal. As I said earlier, quoting Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Pastor Beck read, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. You should desire the Word more than you desire riches. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And we've looked at that great reward this morning, have we not? What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We gain, when we're in the Word, a wise-filled heart, a joy-filled heart, a thankful heart, a peace-filled heart, a Christ-honoring heart. What a testimony this Christ-like life is before others. Again, what a life of wisdom and joy and peace and Christ-likeness and thankfulness we can then pass on to others. There's a book called The Passing of the Third Floor Back. It's the tale of this poor-class lodging house where lived a number of men and women. They were the needy, the seedy folk of life. In this group of people, there was this poor, ignorant, little servant girl who was, and I mean this sincerely, who was ready to sell her virtue for some worthless trinket. Well, into this place there came one day a lodger who at once seemed to be different and who occupied the third floor back. He quickly revealed himself to have a very kind heart. He always had a kindly word for the little slavery, usually so ignored and downtrodden. She almost worshipped him. The other lodgers, too, owed him much for his many deeds of helpfulness. He was always doing something for someone in his kindly, sympathetic way. At last the day came for him to move elsewhere. The little maid watched him, open-eyed as he walked with a bit of his luggage to the front door. And as he turned to her with a smile and a gentle pat on the shoulder, she took her leave of him with the words, please, are you him? Are you him? Father, I pray that the beauty of Jesus will so be seen in us that people will say, how you live must be who Jesus is, what Jesus is like. Let the word of Christ truly dwell in us richly. what a beautiful Christ-like life comes to pass. A wise life, a joy-filled life, a peace-filled life, a Christ-honoring life, a thankful life. Might we not let a day go by that we're not in the Word? Oh, Lord, help us to be true to these words of life.